Good evening. Brother John asked that I read from Mark 8, verses 22 to 26. That is not what is on the card. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. In my Bible, there's a heading there that says, Jesus heals a blind man at Bethsaida. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. You know, this blind man had the one that could lead the blind, didn't he? Sometimes we are blind, and we need to turn to Jesus. He has the answers. Why, in verse 26, he told him not to go into the town or tell it to any in the town. I don't know why. Sometimes Jesus did that. When he performed a miracle, he asked the person not to tell anyone. But I'm thankful that we are able to tell others as blind. The blind is not leading the blind. The one that can see is leading us. Those that me sometimes am blind, and I am able to tell others. With those thoughts on our minds, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening. Welcome again to the Lord's house. I continue to ask an interest in your prayers that the Spirit would visit and work tonight as we go through the message. Sorry to mix up the opening scripture there, but you know, as I was in my travels today, this scripture came to mind, and I thought it really fit with what we want to look at tonight. And basically, what I like to do with Mark 8 there, with the blind man coming to Jesus, there's two stages of sight recovery. The first one, Jesus restores his sight, and I'm calling that man vision. But then when Jesus touches him the second time, I'm going to suggest Jesus gives him Jesus vision. And as you think about it, as we come to Christ, we have knowledge of Jesus. We have knowledge of who God is. But until we accept him and until Jesus comes in our life, only then can we have true Jesus vision of who he is. And I don't know, maybe the comparison don't make sense to you, but I was on the road today, the scripture came to mind, and just the thought of you know, man vision, how we see things, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but you know, once we meet Jesus, once we see Jesus, and once we get to heaven, we'll see things a lot clearer. So as Jesus touches us, as we invite him into our lives, then we get his vision. Then we can see the scriptures and what he tries to teach us. And I'm going to suggest we need Jesus' vision to see our way through our Christian life. So as we look at the topic tonight, the thought of having a vision, I'd like to share the definition, bring out the difference between a dream and a vision and the importance of the vision. The definition of a dream is a cherished ambition, fantasy for something you want. A vision is a compelling, aspirational mental image of a desired future, serving as a guiding long-term goal that inspires action and unity. And I'm going to suggest tonight that dreams often, they're self-natured, And some of them are out of our reach, if in reality. But in contrast, a vision should be a goal of improvement in our lives that by the grace of God we can attain to, and with his power we can reach. And I'm going to suggest a vision takes a commitment, where a dream is just something we think about that we'd nice to have. And it's okay to dream of catching a big bass. Or it's okay of dreaming about shooting a big buck, etc. But generally, the things we dream of that would be nice in life, they don't really change our life. But on the contrast, a vision should be a goal of improvement that will draw us to Jesus, our church, our families, and should also improve our open spiritual walk. They should actually improve our spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. My challenge is this evening that we need to look through the eyes of Jesus. The song says, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No night in the darkness, no light in the darkness you see. There's light for you. Look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death unto life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell." The chorus says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And I trust that's where we are tonight. And I appreciate it. Our brother shared, Jesus was very humble in his walk here on life. And even when he healed and did marvelous things, he still was so humble that he did not want that known. But I praise God also that we can share Jesus. We can share with those around us what he has done. And I believe we should as we meet the world around us. As we think of vision, Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So I want to suggest to us tonight that we need a vision. We need a vision to serve the Lord. We need a vision to live for him, so that at the end of life, we can live with him in heaven. And I'm going to suggest to us tonight what the scary thought of no vision. If we have no vision, or no goals or desires to draw closer to Jesus and his ways, we're going to end up getting lost in limbo. And limbo is a state of no progress. That's not where we want to end up, but I trust that we would have a vision to be a better person. Set some goals. Set some ambitions that would draw us closer to God. John chapter 14, very familiar scripture, but I believe it's a vision that we all should have in our heads, looking forward to what Jesus has prepared for us. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." So with this promise and this setting in mind, I would hope that it would encourage us to live a godly life for him. And as we pursue this kingdom, as we pursue what God has prepared for us, it would take us to the next point of the evening, which is that we would be vigilant in what we are pursuing. And I thought about doing this, the when the man's first healing, he could only see trees, and the second one was healed. I was going to suggest that all of us that wear glasses, just take them off and just blow into them and cover them with fog and then put them on. I think that's what the poor blind man's first healing was like. He came to Jesus, he met Jesus, But then after Jesus did his second phase of healing, praise the Lord, then he could see fully. Vigilant means keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Watchful, on the lookout, observant, sharp-eyed. And I believe if we're going to have victory in our lives, we need to live vigilant lives. We need to be on our guard. Part of winning a victory is having a good defense. Part of not getting sick is a good immune system. And I believe the best part of protection is a watchful eye. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch thee, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." There's a hymn in the Brethren hymnal, talks about our soul being on our guard. And I believe we constantly have to be guarding ourselves, be guarding our souls against what Satan would try and attack us with. There's a story I'd like to share with you. It says, when Cyrus and the Persians arrived, they went to lay siege to the city. Sardis was famous for having what was considered to be an impenetrable acropolis. It would never be defeated by enemy invaders. Cyrus solicited the help of the surrounding peoples to no avail, yet decided to lay siege to the city anyway. Perplexed on how to defeat the city, Cyrus had stationed his troops at the bottom of the mighty Acropolis. One day, as a Persian soldier watched, he saw one of the Lydian soldiers on the wall fall asleep. As his head bobbed, his helmet fell off and down the mountainside. As the astute Persian watched, he saw the soldier appear out of nowhere midway down the mountain, retrieve his helmet, proceed back up the mountain, and disappear. The Persian realized there must be a secret passageway. He brought this to Cyrus, who decided to mount an invasion under the cover of nightfall based on the observation. The secret passageway was found, and according to history, the Persians entered the city to find the Lydians fast asleep. The mighty, invincible Sardis fell. This not only happened once, but it happened twice. And as we consider this city so surrounded and so seemingly undefeatable, yet there was a weak spot. Yet there was a weak spot where the enemy seen, and they used that to capture them. And I guess what I'd like to challenge us this evening with is, you know, we talked a little bit last night about Satan, and Satan is out to destroy us all the same. So as we think of the secret passageway at this city, I wonder if we have any blind spots. I wonder if we have any passageways in our life that is unprotected. I know I drive 18-wheeler, and if you're going to pull out of an intersection, there's a blind spot right where the mirrors are. Those that you drive truck know, you start pulling out and there's a vehicle you didn't see. Well, he was right there at the blind spot that the mirror covers. I just wondered this morning, what is our blind spot? Where's our weak spot that Satan would try and get us with? And I believe we need to be vigilant and cover all of our bases, as they say. I'm fascinated with trains, so I guess I got a question tonight. Who knows what the railroad sign actually means? Anybody know what a railroad sign actually says? It says stop, look, and listen. That's what that railroad sign means. Now, if you're here tonight and you run a gas truck or a school bus, don't raise your hand, but how many of us actually do that at a railroad track? Yeah, I'm just as guilty as y'all. We don't, but that is what the railroad sign actually means. In the older days, I mean, not that old, because I remember it, there was still actually signs that said it. Stop, look, and listen. It would say on the crossings. And so this evening, I'd like to compare that to this. As we make decisions, as we go through life, do we stop and consider where that motive is coming from, where that desire is coming from for that decision? Do we look where it's going to lead us, where it's going to take us? Do we listen to see if it's the Spirit of God, or is it the spirit of my flesh just wanting to do something that I want to do? And it's just, I just want to challenge you to, you know, as we make decisions in life, just consider those at least those two thoughts. Where will it lead me? Where will it take me to? Because I think many decisions we make on the spur of the moment and maybe don't give it as much thought as we really should. And then when it's too late, then we're caught up in something that we really shouldn't have been. But on this side of it, we see that. But my encouragement would be on the forethought. Look to Jesus. Look to the scriptures. Does the scripture say it's okay? If the scripture allows it, go for it. If the spirit doesn't convict you against it, I'm going to suggest it's okay. But, you know, if the Spirit of God is working and thinking, you know what, maybe that's not the best idea, it'd probably be good to listen to him. Just some thoughts. It's just some encouragement to as we go through life, that we would guard the weak spots, that we would make good decisions that would help us to live a victorious life. Watch and pray, I believe, are two powerful tools that Jesus used. If we look at Matthew chapter 26, we'll read verses 36. Matthew 26, 36 through 45. It says, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." I think it would do us good to follow the example of our Master. As he was faced with one of the toughest times of his life, he went to the Father and he prayed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 11. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that ye, the day, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. Just admonishment here to be watchful, to be awake. Verse 11, comfort one another. As we see each other going through struggles and trials, that we would help each other out. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 12 through 16 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. Just a caution to walk in spiritual pure paths so we don't get entangled in the world. That we would be careful where we go, the things we do, the things we say. That it would not cause us to lack in our spiritual walk. Verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore by many be defiled. Again, just encouragement to watch out for things that trouble our spiritual lives. And if needs be, we need to stay away from them. We need to be diligent about what sites we visit, what we do on our phones. It's been said different times, if you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile. And if we're not careful, if we dodge a little bit here and a little bit there before we know it, we'll be in a trap and Satan will overcome us. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 verses. We'll start at verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I guess the verse 13 sticks out to me. How often, when we find ourselves in a temptation, or we find ourselves in a bad way, did we do all to stay out of that? Did we do our best? Did we do everything possible to stay out of that situation where Satan gets us? And just, again, I'd just like to challenge us to watch our weak spots. We all know them. We all have them. Trouble spots where Satan will pick on us, and we need to be more diligent, more vigilant in those areas to protect ourselves, to protect our souls from what Satan is trying to get us to fall. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And I'm going to suggest that prayer is our biggest our biggest weapon against Satan. Prayer is our biggest weapon. We can pray to God to search our hearts. We can pray to God to reveal to us those areas we may be weak in. We can pray to God for strength, for victory. We can pray to God as Jesus told Peter in one of the situations there. He told Satan, "Get behind me. Get hence." We have that power through prayer to Jesus Christ that we can overcome. We can be vigilant and cautious in our Christian walk of life. And that's what I would like to challenge us tonight. I'd just like to leave you with two more verses, Revelations chapter 16. Verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Again, just admonition to be watchful, to keep ourselves clean, to keep ourselves out of the way of Satan. And Jesus will bless us. Jesus will garner us to our reward if we are faithful to him. Revelations 21:7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And tonight, if we're all honest here, that should be what we are looking forward to. That is the ultimate end of the Christian life, that we would be overcomers and that we would be able to go to live with Jesus. Tonight, if you're not a son or a daughter of Jesus, if you're not a son or daughter of Jesus, of God, we would like to give you that opportunity as we sing an invitation hymn. Stand where you are as we sing. What shall we sing?
725.
725.